Hello and welcome to the Digital Careers Podcast, which offers insights and advice to advance your digital career, as well as make your digital hiring more effective. I'm your host, Guy Day, founder of Barton Rock. Now, last week, my guest was former National Crime Agency Deputy Director Jim Stokely, who headed the National Cybercrime Unit. And we talked about how companies manage their cyber risk. However, Jim had a lot more to offer beyond this, and particularly in the field of leadership, especially around times of crisis. And Jim is very qualified on the subject, having been in high profile and high pressure roles, not just in the NCA, but also in areas such as counter-terrorism. Jim talks about a wide range of subjects, including the three qualities he believes defines great leaders, and also coping with stress. So I hope you enjoy the show. I'm keen to now move on to the people section, Jim, where we touch on leadership and particularly how you've made that transition across. Because from what you said earlier on in your brief bio, you had 12 years in counterterrorism, and then you moved into countering gang crime in central London. And then the role at the NCA, what was it that the NCA bought into you around in terms of the skill set and leadership attributes that would make you a relevant candidate for that role? Because you've clearly got an incredibly high profile career in leadership roles, but why were they interested in Jim Stokely for that job, do you think?
So I think it's about managing risk and identifying risk and being able to mitigate it and lead people through whatever's going on. So whether it's terrorism, whether it's a murder investigation, or whether it's a cybercrime, there are similar elements to those. And it's about identifying what that risk will be, getting your structures in place and using your leadership skills in order to deliver the best service that you can, both to seek a criminal justice outcome, but also to support the victims of that particular crime. There's so many skills that are transferable within that. Yes, you do have to have a knowledge and understanding. And I did have a knowledge of it, not extensive, but I did have a knowledge of cybercrime. But I think primarily what it is, it's about understanding risk and then being able to manage that risk and deal with it in a way that's measured and in a way that gets the desired outcome. I think it was sort of understanding that those skills are transferable and then being able to apply them within a cyber environment. I mean, it was quite a bold move for me. I absolutely love the Metropolitan Police. I had 25 years there, thoroughly enjoyed it. So it was a big shout to leave and to do that. But it was I think what's great with leadership is trying to, you know, challenge yourself. So it's around, you know, we talk about continual professional development. That's something that we all do as senior professionals and should do throughout our career, like whatever stage we are. And I think for me, I saw this as an opportunity to undertake some professional development around going into an organization where I didn't have 25 years worth of experience and network. I couldn't just pick the phone up because I knew such and such and they'd be able to help me out. And then going into a new crime type as well. So for me personally, it was a great challenge and really exciting. And I'm so pleased that I did it. It was really, really good. Fantastic men and women within the unit. Really, really inspiring. Very different demographic from the Metropolitan Police, from people that I worked with before. But, you know, really, really good challenges. And it was an exciting time.
Yeah. So you talk about risk management, or we could use the phrase crisis management, because I think it's fair to say that some of the profile and size of these cyber crimes or some of the other crimes that you've looked to counter, I suppose, in the past. I mean, what are the common leadership traits that you think prepare you well for crisis management, Jim? Because it's probably fair to say that you've seen some pretty emotional situations in the past, as well as some deeply satisfying experiences. I mean, I suspect a lot of it is satisfying if you get an outcome, but there's a lot of diversity and a lot of emotion to deal with as well, I suspect. So what are the qualities that prepare you well for that type of thing?
So I think there's three sort of main areas for me personally around leadership. And I think the first one has to be integrity. And I think that's vital. So integrity around how you perform, how you lead from the front, and how you conduct yourself is the first thing, but also integrity around your decision-making. So not being afraid to make difficult decisions, but being able to justify them, be able to explain them, be able to talk to the men and women within your team, within your unit, or within the board, whoever it is that you're explaining the decision, around why you've come to the decision that you have done. So having that sort of transparency in your decision-making process, but not being afraid to make those difficult decisions. Also, integrity around your experiences, so what you've done. One of the fantastic things with policing that I think really is amazing is that whether you're, you know, Dame Cressida Dick is a commissioner, everyone has done 2 years walking the beat in uniform. So everyone's done that. So when you go and you sit down with a group of people and you're senior, they know what you've done. They know that you've done that job. And that gives you so much credibility. You know, I was very fortunate to be the OCU commander in charge of Trident, to be head of Trident. But I've been at Trident when it first started as a detective, as a DC. So to be able to sit down with those men and women that were detectives and say, all right, you know, how's it going today? What's going on? How are you finding things? And they're saying, oh, it's frustrating because of X, Y, and Z. To be able to say, do you know what? Yeah, I get that. I understand that. Because they know, and they know that you've done that job. And I think that's really, really important. And that's a great thing that policing gives you. And you do see it in other companies. Of course you do. But it's a great thing that policing gives you. So my first one would be integrity. Mm-hmm. Second one would be communication. And, you know, some people are what you call a people person. Some people are that naturally. And I think communication is just so important. It really is. So from the minute you come in the morning, if you're where you sit within an office, if you've got your own office or you sit with your team, however it's configured, to chat to people, to just talk to them, engage with them, find out what makes them tick. And to just talk to them is so important on a face-to-face level. Now, obviously, it's very difficult to do that if you're part of a massive organisation. So communication takes many forms, as we know. So obviously, this year, it's taken extraordinary in how we communicate because of what's happened with the pandemic. But that's, you know, just in my own team, for example, we had SLTs every day. So senior leadership team meetings every day via an online platform. Makes a massive difference literally every day. And yes, it's harder because you can't just go to the other side of the office and chat to someone, but it's really, really important. So how you communicate. So whether it's through email, whether it's through blogging, however you do it, it's really, really important. And there's not one form. It can be any number of ways of doing it. One thing that's often overlooked, I think, around communication is how you communicate externally. And it's acknowledging your staff externally. So whether you're doing a press release or briefing around a product, is to say and acknowledge the hard work that the men and women have done within that team. And then I think the last thing for me is around investing in your staff and how you invest in your staff, because that is vital. Without that investment, so without the men and women within your unit, whatever it is that you're doing, so whether you're providing a service to the public, whether you're an industry, whatever organisation it is, without those people, your company is nothing. So what investment is there in your staff, in their training, in their rewards and recognition, in delegation? And people often talk about empowerment, but it's often just referred to. It's just a word. It's so important, because only by giving people the right skills and giving them the space to do it, you can really get teams to adapt, to respond to incidents. And that's where you make a massive difference. So they talk about management is around persuading people to do something that they probably wouldn't normally do. Leadership is about inspiring people to do things that they never thought possible. And that's the difference. And I think I've been lucky to work with some fantastic leaders over the years. For me, those three elements will create, if you do that right, it will create an environment for people to be able to adapt to risk, to adapt to the situation that's going on, because they've got the skills and the confidence to do that. And it isn't about not being prepared to make those decisions, happy to make those difficult decisions, and will do, but it's about giving people the confidence to be able to adapt to the situation that's unfolding in front of them. So for me, those are the elements of leadership that I've learned over the years.
So integrity, communication, and investing in your people, basically. And I think within that integrity example that you gave, I mean, what I'd also add that you display in large quantities is that humility and that accessibility for people. Because I know you gave the example of, you know, having done the job before, doing the job that they're doing, that creates that relatability, I suppose. But showing that willingness and that humility to be at their level and be accessible as a leader, I think is a really important quality and requires a bit of judgment, doesn't it? And strong EQ for a leader to be able to determine whether they've got that right or not. Because by definition, if you're a senior bloke or woman, there's going to be a certain amount of intimidation or reluctance from a junior member of staff approaching a senior member of staff. So I think that relatability is a really, really important quality and something I've learned over the years that does matter. And people talk about it. They talk about you as a leader, whether it's down the pub, when we used to go to pubs, that was, or just on the, you know, at the water cooler in the office. So I think it's also part of the leadership brand as well. I'm keen to touch a little bit on that communication piece as well, because I completely agree. Communication, you can never over communicate it. That old adage that comes back from culture surveys, more often than not, we want more communication. But I suspect most people listening to and watching this podcast will be interested to know how to communicate better with senior people. And you will have had some very high profile access, I suspect, through your career, whether it's through the counterterrorism work you did or the Trident work or the most recent NCA work. But how did you deal with very senior people who were short on time, for example, when you had access to them?
So I think it's around being clear. In all forms of communication, you adjust the way you communicate to your audience, as you should do. So particularly if it's ministers, you know, they've not got a lot of time, they're pushed, they want to know what the risks are and kind of what you're doing to manage it and what can they do to unlock any pinch points that there might be. So I think it's around trying to keep it as succinct as possible. So say that, you know, this is the situation, this is what we've got, these are the risks and issues we've got, and this is what we're doing to manage those. If you could do this, this, and this, that would be really helpful because that would unlock some of these issues here and would help us manage it better. So it's just around being simple, which sadly is something I don't have much difficulty with. But it is around delivering a complicated message, but do it in a succinct way, in a way that people can understand. It isn't about the, yes, it's important to know the detail, but it isn't always about that. It is about being able to say, right, this is the problem that we've got. This is what's happened. And this is the risk around that. And this is what we're doing to manage that. And it's just around keeping it simple, I think, is the best way. And you'll have some, you know, some ministers will want to know the ins and outs of it, and they'll be really intrusive around stuff, quite rightly, and that's fine. You've got to know both elements of it, but it's how you present it, I think, is really important. So you need to know the detail, of course you do, because as we all know, you know, the devil's in the detail.
Yeah.
But how you present it, you can always dive down into it and then come back up to that sort of strategic level, you know, like a sort of helicopter coming up and down. But if you go into the weeds of it right at the start, it can burn up that time very quickly. And then the minister's like quite unsure what's going on or whoever it is that you're presenting to, you know. So I think for me, it's around simplicity.
Yeah. When people have asked me the question of what do I think defines a really great leader, I mean, there's a number of things that I'd use as descriptions. But one of the things that always strikes me is if you are working in a very technical niche, that ability to convey something which is actually quite complicated, as you say, into quite straightforward language is a real knack, and also to say it succinctly and in quite layman's English. So I completely agree, because I suspect you've probably got, what, 15, 20 minutes with someone max before they're moving on to their next appointment. So you've got to be short to the point, and you've got to be understandable as well.
Yeah, that's right, definitely.
That's the key. What about coping with stressful situations then? So, I mean, if you're sat in front of a high-profile government minister, it's quite nerve-wracking. You know, you probably get better over time, of course, you know, practice and all these sorts of things. But coping with stress and managing stressful situations is something that's a quality of your leadership that's run through your career. How would you be advising people at any level, frankly? Because stress and mental wellness is a big thing that is covered these days in businesses and across the media. Every organization and many individuals have struggled with it. What did you find incredibly powerful from your point of view?
You're right. It does affect us in all aspects of our lives, actually. And I think so. It's understanding what you're stressed about is the first thing, and what and how you react to it. So one of the best things for briefing senior people when you're in that position is knowing as much as you can about what you're briefing them about. If you've got the knowledge, you know, there's that common adage that knowledge is power. But if you've got the knowledge going in and you're briefing them about that, you know more than them on the situation and what you're doing to manage it. And I think that you can take some comfort from that. It's also around understanding what does that person want? So invariably with ministers anyway, and with senior people, what they want to do is to be able to have a reassurance that it's being dealt with properly, to understand what it is, and to understand what they can do to improve the situation. So it's around understanding who your audience is. So we talked at the start around communication, around adjusting to suit your audience. I think it's around understanding what that is. As regards to sort of managing stress and risk over time, I think it's really important as a leader, and it's almost part of continual professional development. And it's the same at any level. So it's not just about leadership, and it's around, you know, making sure that there is time for yourself. So making sure that there is time at some point in the day, it doesn't matter when it is, but at some point where you can switch off. And it may be that you like running. You know, for me, I think, obviously, Guy, you know me, but, you know, I like sport and doing some sort of fitness somewhere down the line, whatever it might be. And I've always found that that's very helpful, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be any number of things. It could be, you know, reading a book or watching a film or whatever it is, but you do need to have some switch off time. And that is really, really important. I've started quite a lot of cold water swimming, and I find, you know, certainly for that, you get in the water when it's, you know, this time of year, it's very, very cold. You cannot think about anything else. Or your mind is literally concentrating on getting to the other end and getting out. You can't, you've got no space in your head to think about anything else. That's a very good way of dealing with it. I'm not suggesting that people watching this should all go and jump in a lake. I'm just saying that, you know, for me, that works quite well. But it's understanding that and understanding yourself. And as you get older and more mature, you become more self-reflective anyway, by definition, I think. And you begin to understand. But it's seeing it in other people. And not, I think as leaders, we have a responsibility to talk about it, to talk about well-being. It is really important. And it's okay to sort of say, look, you know, yeah, I found it quite difficult. What I did was this, and it really helped me deal with stuff. And it's being able to spot it in not only people that work for you, but people that work with you and people above you too. So it is really important to, you know, sometimes you, and I've done this, you know, I've gone to my boss and said, oh, look, now you've got a lot on, can I help you with anything, you know? And I think that really does help when people do say that. And it's just having that emotional intelligence and awareness. Everyone's fighting a battle you can't see. And I think that's really important to remember that. There's lots of different ways that you can help people. So I have a well-being lead, or had a well-being lead within my unit before. And then we had various well-being, I can't remember the exact sort of definition we used, but basically they were touch points at different grades throughout my unit where you could go and speak to that person if something, you were struggling with something. It was so popular. Really, really popular. And then we set up a channel actually on a platform to give advice for people around well-being. And in fact, the agency as a whole did a lot of work around well-being and has been really, really good. And I think it's really important. You can't do enough of that, because without the men and women within your team and within your organization is nothing. And I think that's the point. We all have a responsibility to each other as well as to ourselves, to be able to acknowledge that and to make sure that we are as well and as healthy as we can be mentally as well as physically.
I think in a very digital world, and COVID obviously has compounded that this year with the amount of screen time and immersion that we have in emails and texts and various other forms of communication, then obviously the social media and watching more Netflix at home and so forth, it is important to get away from it. And I've written a few articles on this over the last few months, which is that there is a lot of digital addiction that floats around, and sometimes it can get the better of you and you're not aware of just what impact it's having. And as you say, sometimes it requires a colleague to tap you on the shoulder and say, do you want to talk about some of these stress levels, because you don't get away from it. You don't create boundaries in your life. And I think the other thing is, sometimes in leadership roles I've done, it's quite lonely in leadership roles. And if you've got somebody who works for you, says, do you want to grab 10 minutes? Or even if it's a phone call, sometimes, so long as you have trust and confidence and that person has discretion and integrity, then I think opening up is really powerful. So that whole communication piece. Jim, I'm conscious of taking any more of your time. There's one last question that I wanted just to ask you, which was just about how you've hired and how, you know, that might have been different, obviously, across different remits that you've had through your career. But what are the qualities you look for in the hires that you make? I know you could touch on some of those things you've spoken about already, you know, the integrity, communication and so forth. But what things have stood out for you when you've tried to hire people? What has been high up on your list, for example?
I think, so I think that's interesting. So I think the role that I've most recently been in, as I said, we have got quite a diverse workforce, so diversity of thought and diversity of experience of what individuals have done previously to that. So we have some people coming straight in. So literally some people coming in as interns, and 100% hit rate on the interns, they all stay. It's, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. We look at recruiting people from university directly. So they'll be on maybe a four-year course where they do a year in industry. That year will be with us within, you know, sort of technical design, technical development in some way, shape or form. And they'll look to stay, which is, you know, really, really good. Almost to the other end of the spectrum, where you've got people that have got, you know, 25 years experience with law enforcement that then join as well. So a real sort of diversity of thought and experience. And I think that's really important in any workforce. As regards to what sort of skills that you look for. So obviously the three that I've mentioned around leadership are really, really important. And I think it's around getting someone that's inquisitive, getting someone that has self-awareness, someone that has and expresses humility. I think that's really important. I think certainly for leaders, and I would probably stick that under the integrity banner that I spoke about at the start when you asked me about leadership, was humility is really, really important. And I think you touched on it, is that, you know, just as a leader doesn't mean that you've got the answer to everything, quite the reverse, in fact. And it's around creating that environment that people can say, oh, look, I think we should be doing this. And, you know, invariably that would be a really good decision and a really good thing to do. Not your idea as the leader, someone else's. And I think, so having humility is really, really important, I think. So for me, those are probably the main sort of characteristics I would look at. I think there's no one person, you know, literally I've people that have come from academia, people that have come from industry, and people that have come from law enforcement, certainly in my last organisation, you know, a real spectrum there, which is fantastic. And I think for me, that's what you need, is a diverse workforce. That's what leads to a good organisation.
And I suspect, I mean, what's kept you in the Metropolitan Police for 25 years and the NCA for another two, I mean, is you're passionate about what you do. You know, you've got to be passionate about what you do, and you've got a very strong purpose, Jim. That's something that's always struck me about you, is that there is a sense of wanting to do the right thing, of course, which you'd expect in law enforcement, of course. But that's an important quality to assess for, I suppose, in the people that you meet as well, is that passion, that desire, that determination to succeed in the job that they're doing. I mean, that's something that, you know, a lot of my clients will look for, is, you know, you've got to be passionate. You've got to get out of bed in the morning, be very positive about what you're doing every day.
Yeah, no, very much so. Honestly, I think that's, you know, I've done quite a lot of interviews, recruitment interviews, certainly not as many as you, but I've done quite a lot. And that's the thing, you know, you ask someone, so the achievement you're most proud of, you know, something like that, you know, a nice open question. And then you get to see people's passion come out. And that's so important. It really is. I mean, for me, you know, 27 years in public service, for me, there's no greater calling than public service. To be able to help people is really important for me. And as you say, that's what sort of drove me. But not everyone has that, and because it depends on what organisation you're recruiting for. But you want that passion, you want that drive, because that's what makes a difference, you know?
Mm. Well, look, you used that word pride, and you should be incredibly proud of your 27 years in the public services, as you say. And I just wanted to wrap up by saying a massive thank you today, because we've covered a range of subjects. Obviously, we've tackled the cybercrime piece, which was really interesting, around what companies can do and leaders can do to combat it moving forward, and how COVID's had a further impact on it this year. And then moving on to that piece in leadership, I know we spent quite a lot of time today. I think we've used up the full hour that I allotted to you, Jim, but I found it fascinating, because and I think most people who, I know you don't have a high profile public CV out there or anything like that, but some of the things that you've done are incredibly interesting, and I'm glad we've been able to tap some of your experience and certainly draw on some of the philosophies you've got around leadership, because that's been really enlightening today. So I just wanted to say a massive thanks again, and to wish you well for 21 and the future in your new endeavors in business.
Thank you, Guy, and you too. Thank you very much.
So I hope you enjoyed that show, and I think you'll agree that Jim offered some great perspectives into leadership. What I find most interesting is how parallels are often drawn between sport and business, but equally so law enforcement in this case. So this is the last in series one of Digital Careers. So I hope you've enjoyed the dozen or so guests that I've spoken to, and we'll be kicking off with series two in January 2021. And if you're enjoying Digital Careers, remember to subscribe and leave a rating. And finally, if you're looking for advice with your digital career or looking to hire within digital, get in touch with me guy@bartonrock.com.